This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
At this moment in time, we are about to get into conversation with Noglunga Mthembu, who's a litigation and family law attorney at Ginwa Attorneys. And part of the reason we wanted to do this is because, you know, with so many people having lost their jobs, with so many people having had their salaries cut, there is that small matter that requires children to be taken care of. And when it comes to children being taken care of, sometimes you find a woman, and in certain instances a man, has had to go to a court in order to force the person that they have a child with to take care of the child's basic necessities in terms of financial assistance. But like I say, right now we are finding ourselves in uncharted territory. We are finding ourselves with some financial challenges being at our doorsteps. So when you lose your job, or when you do get your salary cut, what does that mean in terms of child maintenance? Noglunga, welcome to Power Lunch.
Hi, Mpo, how are you?
I'm good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Awesome. So in terms of maintenance payments, if I've gone as far as taking either the father of my child, or in some instances even the mother of my child, to court, what is the actual process that I would need to do in order to be able to get to that maintenance order?
So if you are looking to get a maintenance order against the father or mother of your child,
yeah,
to maintain the child, then what you would need to do is that you would approach the court. You can go to any magistrate's court within the jurisdiction of where the child lives.
Mm.
So it has to be where the child ordinarily resides.
Yeah.
And then you approach the court and request that you are seeking an order for the maintenance of your child, where they would go and serve. You would get a court date allocated to you.
Mm.
And then that date would be served upon the mother or the father of the child. And then you would go to court and you would present a set of facts which motivates for the order,
yeah,
and pray to the court to have an order granted for a certain amount. And the court would hear both parties' sides and make that court order depending on what is affordable to the parent, which needs to pay maintenance.
So if he does not come to the court, if the other party does not come to the court, can I still get an order, a maintenance order against them?
Yes, you could get an order in their absence.
Okay. And then if I do get this order, but the other party still insists on not paying anything, am I stuck holding a useless piece of paper, or can I still go further with it?
No. So the Maintenance Act provides for the enforcement of maintenance orders. So if you are if you're holding an order in your hand and it says that you're supposed to get maintenance of X amount on X date,
mm,
then you can seek different methods to enforce it. For instance, one of the methods that you can seek to enforce it is that you should, because firstly, the court order must be served on that other party.
Mm.
And so now when you're seeking to enforce the order when they aren't paying, then you could go to the court again and seek a garnishee order against their salary if they are employed. And then before their salary actually gets to them, a certain amount will be taken out of their salary, which will be set aside for the child.
Uh-huh.
You can attach their movable property.
Yeah.
You can seek an emolument attachment order, an attachment of debt. There are various ways which the Maintenance Act provides for the enforcement of a maintenance order which is not being paid.
Uh-huh. So what then happens in instances where the person genuinely cannot pay?
In instances where the person cannot pay, they can, as the party who has an order against them, they can approach the court for a variation of the order that exists.
Okay.
Or to have that order set aside.
Yeah.
So it's Section 19 of the Maintenance Act, which allows you to present facts before the court surrounding your personal circumstances as to perhaps, let's say, the maintenance order is for 5,000 rand and you can only afford to pay 2,000 rand. You would present facts which support the fact that you cannot afford the maintenance or the current maintenance order.
Mm.
Or if your personal circumstances have changed and you were previously paying a certain amount and then you can no longer afford to pay that amount, as a parent, you can approach the court to have that court order varied. Well, the same thing would happen if you lose your job. It would be set aside.
Okay, so then the onus lies with me as the party that is paying to approach the court and say, listen, under this lockdown period, I find myself having lost my job and I'm not quite sure how to move forward. So I would have to go to the court.
100%, because up until you approach the court and actually get a variation order or have the maintenance order set aside, it's fully enforceable.
Okay. And then if my salary has been cut, do I then also still have to do the same thing, or am I legally bound to that figure that is on the maintenance order?
Just like you said, the onus would lie on that parent to go and approach the court for a variation of the maintenance amount in the order.
Mm.
So the onus does lie on you. And also, I just want to say that there is the option of approaching the mother of your child to say, let's sit down, let's talk, let's negotiate as well before you approach the courts, because you can resolve some of these issues by sitting down and negotiating, because you also lose money when you're going to court, and that money could be going towards the child.
Yes.
So if you sit down and you discuss and say, I have been earning X amount, I'm no longer earning that amount, and I'm now earning a lower amount, and this is what I can afford. Please, can you grant me this indulgence to pay this amount until my financial circumstances change? And that takes for both the parties to be open about their financial circumstances.
Yeah. If you've just joined us, welcome to it. This is a Power Lunch and we are in conversation with Noglunga Mthembu, who is a litigation and family law attorney at Ginwa Attorneys. And we are talking about child maintenance under this lockdown period. Perhaps you have a matter that you actually have gone through a similar situation where you've lost your job. What are some of the things that you have done in order to make sure that you are still in good standing with the courts? 0861-987-000. Speaking of which, Nogulunga, if I find myself now in a situation where I have not approached the court to tell them that I've had a salary cut or that I've lost my job and I'm now in arrears where child maintenance is concerned, what recourse do I have there?
As someone who is paying a maintenance, then you can also, any variation or anything that has to do with that order can be resolved through the maintenance courts. Because if you've fallen in arrears, it might be difficult for you to be paying those arrears on top of the monthly amount that you need to pay with the interest. So it would make more sense for you to then approach the court and present facts and financial facts to the court that would show that, in fact, maybe the arrears could be spread out over time or whatever amount that you can afford to pay.
So what happens in situations where, let's say, I've been ordered to pay 5,000 rand a month towards the child, right? But instead of paying the full 5,000 rand, let's say I give the mother 3,000 rand and then decide with 2,000 rand, I'd rather go buy the child clothes, for instance. Is that something that is seen as part of that maintenance order? Or is this something that would be deemed as, you know, something out of the goodness of your heart?
I think that the maintenance order is very specific. It would say 5,000 rand in cash or 5,000 rands that you need to pay. It doesn't say 3,000 rand plus 2,000 rand in clothing. So unless you agree amongst parties that this month the child needs clothing, so please rather take a portion of that amount and purchase clothing for the for the child. You can't act outside of the order.
So it's not up to me to decide how I'm going to break it down.
No, but if you approach the other parents and decide how whether you'd like to change it or whatever needs need to be addressed on that particular month, you can agree between yourselves without approaching the courts for a variation of the order. Because something like clothing, you wouldn't need to purchase every single month.
Yeah. So it's something, the order is not so strict that we cannot informalize it between myself and the other party.
Yes, so you are more than welcome to, with the parents of your child, sit down and negotiate amongst yourselves and reach an agreement as to how you wish to do things.
Uh-huh.
And if you feel that maybe the other party won't honor the obligations of that agreement, then you are free to approach the court and make the agreement which you have both agreed upon, an order of court.
Uh-huh. Matimba in Brits would like to get in on the conversation. Matimba, what's your question or comment?
Hi, how are you? First time call on your show, by the way.
Welcome.
I would like to ask. I don't trust my. The mother of my child in terms of finances. Can I approach the court to assist me with taking the child to stay with me, so that I can be able to take them to a better school and then financially look after them better than giving her the money, because she seems to be distressed, according to.
Did you hear the question, Noglunga?
Yes, I did. He's asking about having primary residence of the child.
Yes, because he doesn't trust the mother of his child to take care of the child from a financial perspective.
So that is something that the courts would definitely have to grant an order in. If you are seeking primary residence of your child, which is where the child would reside most of the time, and then it would be her that would now have contact with the child as agreed upon, I must stress that maybe at first it would be better to sit down and see whether you can negotiate this agreement. But then if you are unable to agree, then you can go and approach the court. You can approach any family court within the jurisdiction of the child to say to the court that you are seeking primary residence and you need to set reasons for that primary residence that you are seeking of your child.
So it can't be just because you think the other parent is irresponsible. You need to give specific reasons.
Yes, you need to give reasons. And the mother of the child will also have an opportunity to give reasons as to why she believes that the child would stay with her. In certain circumstances, they may the courts may decide to have both parties go to the Office of the Family Advocate,
mm-hmm.
and where they would have meetings and interview the parents of the child. And if the child is old enough to, they may even interview the child to find out how the child feels and where the child would like to reside. And then you would go back to court, and that would the report of the family advocate would, it's not binding. However, the magistrate would be able to go through the report and see whether, and that will assist the magistrate in making an order.
There's two questions that have come through on Twitter. The first question asks about, in terms of maintenance, if I do not trust my partner, am I in a position to ask for a breakdown of exactly what it is that the money is used for? Can I legally ask for that? So that's question number one.
Yes.
Can you legally ask for a breakdown of where your maintenance money is going?
Yes, you can approach the mother of your child and ask her perhaps for a breakdown of the cost in respect of saying, you could say that she should provide you with a breakdown of the school costs, or you can approach the school yourself and then find out what other costs what other costs are encompassed in that, let's say, 5,000 Rand. And then you can see whether you agree on those costs. And if you don't agree, then you can try and negotiate amongst yourself whether what you can reduce or what can be increased. And if you still fail to agree, then you can approach the court and say that you don't agree with these costs because you don't believe that food costs 10,000 Rand a month. Yeah. It should only cost this much per month.
Uh-huh.
So a breakdown does assist the parties to understand what it is that they are actually paying for.
The second question almost goes into that one. And this one is around, how does the court determine how much I need to pay towards my child?
The court looks at a number of factors, but some of the factors that the court would look at is also your affordability. So how much you also look at, the court will look at what the child needs. For instance, the child needs clothing, shelter, food, and schooling, and how much that costs. And the court would take into consideration also the parent's affordability. So if schooling costs 15,000 Rand, per year, per annum, and then the parent is unable to afford that 15,000 Rand per annum, then the court would look at whether the mother can also pitch in, or they would suggest maybe that the parties pick a different school, a school that is more affordable. It's not only about the costs, the actual costs, but the court would take a further test and look into the costs and whether the parties can actually afford those costs.
Uh-huh.
So for instance, if you're earning 1.5 a month as a general worker, you may not necessarily be able to afford to give the mother of your child 1,000 Rand a month because it leaves you with 500 Rand.
Yeah.
So the court would look at things like that.
Vuyani in Pretoria, you want to get in on the conversation. What's your question or comment?
My question, could I?
Greetings.
My question is, I've got the event whereby I've been paying a certain amount for the maintenance. Now, there comes an issue whereby the account number for the lady has changed. Then the sister's lady called me, not the actual lady, the sister's lady called me to tell me that the account number has changed. I've requested them to make that in writing or to approach the court so that the court can just summon me or tell me what to do, where to pay, because the lady doesn't pay. Now my question is that, who is responsible for this arrangement, for changing of account number and stuff like that? Because later I'll be summoned not to be paying the maintenance amount.
Noglunga?
Again, I've got the last question.
Yeah.
My last question is that, in the event whereby you're paying accurately and stuff like that, but you have been garnished, what is the reason for applying for a garnish by the lady? Because they only apply garnish, because this garnish thing, they are dainting our account, actually. When you want to apply for something, this is dainting our...
But you've
our
been paying, Vuyani.
Yes, you've been paying, but they garnish you.
Noglunga?
I'll just start with the last question. He said that he's been paying, but he got a garnishing order.
Yes.
A garnishing order only comes into place when the mother of the child needs to enforce the court order, where a party hasn't been paying correctly or been paying sporadically. Then you approach the court to request a garnishing order to be made against the salary of the parent.
But would one be given? Yeah, would one be given if you are paying?
No, there wouldn't be a need for the court to issue a garnishing order if the parent is paying consistently.
Yeah.
So I would say that perhaps he can approach the court to have that garnishing removed.
Yeah.
That order be set aside if it's interfering with his finances, and he can prove to the court by showing the court that he has made payments without being prompted by the mother of his child previously.
And his first question?
Sorry, I didn't get that question properly. Can you just repeat it?
The first question, Vuyani, just remind me
first
question, please.
The first question is that the lady, the one that I'm having a child with,
yeah,
When she changed her account number.
Oh, the account number changed.
I was paying to this account number.
Yeah.
Then the account number is changed.
Yeah.
She doesn't even call me to inform me about that. Only the sister to the lady called me on behalf of the lady.
All right.
Then they've changed it, which I don't trust whether the account number does belong to the sister or who is belonging to. So I've said they need to go to court and make an arrangement of a new account number.
Yeah.
Until now, they didn't make anything. Suddenly, I'll be someone by court not to pay.
True, true. Vuyani, Vuyani's question, Noglunga, is what happens in a case where the other party or the woman who is receiving the maintenance changes the account number into which the maintenance is supposed to be paid? Does this have to involve the courts, or is it something that they can agree between themselves?
I think it's something that they can agree between themselves.
But he says he doesn't trust the mother. He doesn't even trust.
You could request that she give you a proof of banking letter.
Okay.
So all she needs to do is go into the bank, get a letter from the bank confirming that she is the account holder of that account.
Okay.
And that would resolve it.
But the problem is that the lady doesn't call me. The sister to the lady called.
I think in this case, it doesn't matter. Even if the sister called you, then you say to the sister, the only way you will start making payments into that account is if they furnish you with a letter to prove that this account belongs to the mother of your child.
Which they failed up to so far. It's almost a month now.
That sounds a little dodgy, hey, Noglunga?
Yes. So if you're failing to agree or if you're failing to get the correct information, that does not take away the fact that you still have a duty of support towards your minor child.
Mm.
So I think that if you are hitting a brick wall and you're not able to get a proper answer, then you can just either communicate by ways of an attorney and ask an attorney to then contact her. Or you could approach, I wouldn't recommend that you approach the court over something that can be resolved quite simply.
Yeah.
But you could then speak to another member of a family just to get this simple piece of information. And if you fail, then as a last resort, you could get the courts involved.
Does that answer your question, Vuyani?
For the court
yes, but my last comment,
to reflect
then
the correct...
I've requested a maintenance officer. Perhaps I've gone to court to report this matter because I've been waiting for the new details of the account number. They didn't submit it. So the maintenance officer said, no, you will wait for them to come to change this account number in our office.
Okay. Okay.
Because there's a form that
she needs to pay. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Not a problem.
All right. Thank you.
Vuyani, thank you so much for your call. Noglunga, in wrapping up, I guess the biggest question is, can missing child maintenance payments land me up in prison?
Well, there is a court judgment that says that when you can be arrested for failing to meet a maintenance payment, but it's a process before that actually would happen, because there are different ways to enforce a maintenance order. Like I said, the garnishee order, which is against the salary.
Yeah.
If they are a business owner, then you would get a warrant of execution against their movable property, where you attach their movable property, and it could either be sold if they don't pay.
Uh-huh.
I would say that the arrest should really happen as a last resort, simply because when the parents of your child is now arrested for failing to meet a maintenance payment, it defeats the purpose that you were trying to achieve. Because now you're not going to get that payment because they've been arrested, and you are hampering their ability to earn money.
Yeah.
And it's not something that would be advisable as a method of first instance. I think that the parents should first try to enforce the court order through a garnishee order or attaching their movable property or an emoluments attachment order so that they can get assistance in that regard. But to arrest the parents, is not necessarily something that should be tried as a method of first instance.
Brilliant. Noglunga, thank you so much for your time.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.